Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. Now, it is said that each one of us, in our own capacities, whether consciously or not, carry out leadership roles in our daily lives. From managing a household to a student in a class, leadership manifests itself in various ways and often means different things to different people. But researchers say that while leadership can be unique to everyone and that leaders can have their own unique styles and methods of leading, there are some universal ways or principles to define a good leader. For example, great leaders consistently put the interest of others above themselves. They are also great communicators because communication is key in expressing the role and ultimate goals of each one involved in whatever endeavor or initiative or organization. There are obviously other important qualities of a great leader, you know, like compassion, integrity, and many others, but that's not really the topic of our conversation today. What we are trying to do, and this is something that we actually have discussed on this show previously, is leadership a competency or skill that is taught? Is it acquired through experience, or does it come natural? In other words, are some people preordained to be leaders and get better with time? How is a leader able to create that important sense of trust and loyalty among those that they lead? And joining us on the show to help shed more light on these questions is Annette Bayingana. She's a leadership coach. Annette is part of a growing global industry with more companies and people seeking the help of coaches like herself, leadership coaches, to help either their employees and usually the ones in leadership positions become better leaders. So we'll get to talk to Annette on the show today. But as always, before we get into our conversation, let's hear about what you have to say. Are people born leaders, or they become better leaders through education and training? This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Well, let me just say that I believe personally that leadership is something that one is born with. So, yes, I would say that we can learn to be a leader in class, but at the same time, I would say that you don't necessarily need to sit in a classroom and to learn how to become a leader. However, it is somehow important for one to also have an access to lessons on leadership.
We are not supposed to be taught on how to be a good leader, but we are supposed to learn. Okay, if someone wants to be a good leader, he or she is supposed to learn maybe from other people, from other leaders, from their role models, so that he or she should be like that someone else.
Yes, there's need for lessons on how to be leaders, for there are certain leadership skills that a person does not acquire like naturally, so therefore there's need for extra learning so that they have the skills.
Leadership is a gift one is born with, so there's no need for one to be in class and have lessons on leadership. We have seen leaders who have failed their job just because they thought it is enough for them to lead, because they learned about how to be a leader, yet they do not have the gift of leadership from God.
There are a number of people who have been leaders in the society. These people are good leaders, comparing also to some other people who are very educated, but they are not good leaders. So being a leader, it doesn't matter whether you're educated or not. It just depends on how you are brought up, how you grown, or the environment you live.
Oh, God, chuzi la choko choko ni neba
on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Richard Martin Smolki from Nigeria, Calabar State, Yombu, Federal Local Government. I'm enjoying your program. Thank you very much.
Hello there, this is Mom Yvonne Chaka Chaka, and you're listening to Upfront with Jackson.
Thanks for contributing your opinion to today's topic of discussion. If you're just joining us, welcome. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, and the topic of discussion today is on leadership and the qualities of a good leader. Now, each one of us is a leader in our own capacities, whether it's at school or home or in a professional setting, as a business executive, as a politician, as a student leader, etc. And we know that each one of us has a unique style, like I said earlier. And with that comes, you know, unique strategies on how to influence other people, because it's all about influence, as we'll get to hear from Annette later on the show. Annette is in the studio to help guide us as we try to break down what can sometimes be a complex subject. Annette is a leadership coach. It may come as a surprise to many of you or to some of you that such a profession exists, and that is part of our conversation today. Annette, welcome. Let's start off by asking, what is leadership?
What is leadership? So leadership, in simple, clear terms, is influence. Because a leader has a place he's going, and his job is to get everybody to follow. But to get people to follow, you need influence.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter which position you have, it doesn't matter the status you have or the title, so long as you can get as many people to follow a vision, you are leading. As simple as that. So, for example, using that example, then we go through that. We really ask deep questions. So we start doing some assessments. How high is your influence? How low? You know, how badly are you doing? Because the true measure of leadership is influence, the true measure.
Mm.
If you can't influence people, you're not leading. So we try to teach and to coach people to actually become that person of influence, because that's what leadership is all about.
Can you just force people to follow you without having to influence them?
Yeah, you can force, but that is
that leadership?
Yeah, it's bad leadership.
It's bad leadership.
Yeah, it's bad leadership. So we teach methods of influence. So, like, force is really a bad one. People must be able
coercion
to follow you. And manipulation.
Yes.
And, you know, so people must be able to follow you because they respect who you are. They know, yes, this guy has a track record. This woman has a track record. We can trust her. She can help us, you know. She cares about us. All those are dynamics that we teach our leaders to become that caring person. I like to give the example of our president, Paul Kagame, actually.
The
president of Rwanda. And I usually, you know, give them examples of how he goes to meet these abaturage, you know, goes there.
What
the
is abaturage?
The outreach program.
Community outreach.
Yes, community abaturage outreach.
Abaturage is a Kenya-Rwanda term for people, for locals.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so he goes there, he leaves his office, goes to meet those people there, you know, and in doing so, he's communicating, I care. You can actually speak, you can tell me your challenges, and I'll make sure that I address them. But the problem we have with so many leaders right now, you know, they're seated in an office up there, they don't even know who they are. Head of administration is, they have not discussed.
They are detached from the people they lead.
They don't know the challenges their people are facing in an organization, in just a small office.
Is it possible though to still live in a bubble? Because that, I guess I would call that a leadership bubble, if that's not a technical term already you're using. When you feel like you think that you're in touch with those that you lead, but in essence, what you see is what they want you to see.
Yeah. So I'm not
they kind sure. of curate their understanding, or they curate your influence over them. They pretend that they follow you, but they don't follow you.
Yeah, that is typical. That is what is happening, and that is false influence.
That's the bad leadership you're talking about.
Yes. You have to get down there, connect with people if you're actually going to
like
lead them.
Have a certain like an authentic connection.
Because nobody's going to authentically follow you if they don't feel like you care for them. Period. Unless they can trust that you actually care for them, they're not going to authentically follow you. They can just, you know, show you that they are following you, but they will not.
Mm.
The moment they have a chance to do otherwise, they will run away from you. Yeah, so you have to really build that connection on a personal level if you are going to be a very good boss with a positive influence. It's what we talk about. It's just not influence. It has to be
positive influence.
We take the boss.
One for the party, two for the money, three for the honey, four for the four.
My name is Mokhtar, and I came from Somalia. And in order you to be to very good leadership, you have to have so many traits. That's one of the theories of leadership. One says that the leadership can be born, and the other one says that it cannot be born or you can be studied.
Yeah, my name is Simon Zwa. When we go to school, we get equipped with skills. And then as you interact with different people, you know what they want. You know how to improve yourself.
My name is Immaculate Katsime, a student at KIU. And to my own understanding, I think it's not a guarantee that you have to go through school to become a leader. Because particularly, a leadership, at times it's born, though some can make it, but it's born, it's inborn to become a leader. Okay, leaders should go through school in order for them to acquire more skills and to build up leadership, to inspire.
Up front on the Voice of America, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. So as a young person who is either in high school, in college, done with your college studies, you're about to enter into professional life, do you need a leadership coach? Obviously, you will not start off as a leader, but eventually you're going to be holding positions or you're going to be controlling resources or people at some point in your professional or personal life.
And so as you take on these leadership roles, I think it's important that you understand that your decisions will inevitably affect you. But most importantly, those in your sphere of influence, whether it's your coworkers or teammates, those that you lead or engage with personally or professionally. Now, understanding the impact of your decisions or decision-making process requires an understanding of your strengths and weaknesses, you know, the human blind spots. And that partly explains why we see leaders who started out well, whether it's in politics or business, we see these leaders whose decision-making fails to inspire those they lead and often end up leading by the use of force. We call them dictators in the political world. In business, they basically end up driving their companies to the ground. And the reason this happens usually has to do with their lack of self-awareness, a very important leadership principle. Self-awareness, as Annette Bayingana explains, basically allows you to remain humble, you know, understanding your weaknesses or vulnerabilities. And that in itself is a strength. Annette says that that is partly why we need a leadership coach. So what does a leadership coach do?
A leadership coach basically helps today's leaders and tomorrow's leaders to be prepared and to set them up for success as leaders, emphasizing the fact that we cannot take it for granted that everybody is born a leader.
What is the starting point in your view as a leadership coach for anybody who is aspiring to lead or to be in a leadership position? Are we already leaders without even knowing that we're leaders?
Yes, we actually, I believe that, because leadership starts with self. So if you cannot lead yourself as a person, it will be very difficult to lead others. So answering that question, as soon as you're born and as soon as you grow, you're exercising leadership, whether you know it or not. If you cannot manage well yourself, if you cannot control yourself, if you cannot lead yourself well and live by example, it will be very difficult to switch and start leading people. Yeah, so it starts from way back.
What is the relationship between leadership and decision making? Because I feel like if you're not in a position to lead people, you're not, when you say lead yourself, I'm thinking that at that point, it is about the decisions you make in your life, about the people around you, or about
yourself.
You know, about yourself.
Yeah, every day you have choices. Every day you're taking decisions for yourself. If not for yourself, for your friends, for your families, for your colleagues. So it's all round. It's you're taking decisions on a daily basis. So leadership and decision making, it's the one and the same thing.
So what does a personal coach do? What is your job? What does your job entail?
So basically, my job is to help someone move from point A to point B. It is to help them think higher than their thinking, become their sounding board, challenge their thinking, help them set goals, help them achieve them, hold them accountable. It's so many things.
There are people who are already at point B and they need to go back to point A first. Well, how do you know whether you're at point A and what point B looks like?
Exactly. So you have to, first of all, have a good self-awareness level. I don't know how to stress that.
Right.
It starts with self-awareness. Assess yourself, where you are right now. Second step, discover and paint that vision of success. Like, make it super clear.
Mm-hmm.
That it's so clear, even to the toddler, even to anybody in the office or in your life, can tell Jackson wants to get there.
Now, I know I asked you this question last time and you were laughing at me, but I stressed the point a little too much. What is success? What does success look like?
Okay, so success, drawing from what I told you last time, I can really try to simplify it in a few words. Success for me begins with, first of all, discovering your purpose in life. Because if you do not know what your purpose is, then you won't even know how to define success.
Man, that feels a little too difficult.
No.
Discovering your own purpose.
No, discovering your own purpose is the easiest thing. People have made the whole, you know.
It sounds so abstract, though.
It's not abstract. Mm. You know, people asking themselves every day, but what is my purpose? But am I living my purpose? They're all scared. You know, living your purpose is a very, very simple thing. Even discovering it. Mm. It's a very simple thing. I will not give the information right here,
right?
But it's a very simple step.
So how do you discover your purpose?
That's what I just said. That I will not go into that right now, but to give a few pointers.
Mm.
First of all, to know that you're actually living your purpose is when you're like doing something that you feel you can do for free forever,
which is only like 10% of the world population.
Yes, but the problem starts when people have resigned. Like, they think
they
have given up their lives. The moment you embark on a process to search for your purpose, you will actually find, because whoever seeks finds. It's the universal principle, and it's true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Again, going back to our point A, going from point A to point B, what are some of the things that you need to go from one point to
so
the next point?
So you discover, first of all, you discover where you are. Have a good self-awareness exercise. If you don't know, it's okay. Search.
Mm.
You know, the problem.
And that's why I guess you come into the picture as
a personal coach to help you.
You help me understand I'm at point A.
Yes.
Which is a person like me who's been doing this job for over 20 years, but I still feel like I'm at point A.
Yeah. So what happens if you came in my, you know, office? I would sit you down and would have to first take a snapshot of where you are.
Mm.
Yeah, in terms of your personal life, in terms of your professional life, in terms of, you know, your development, all these things, financial-wise, how are you doing? We look at all these elements, put them together, and have a snapshot of who you are.
Is it possible that you are in a moment of zen where you feel like, I don't need anything else, I'm okay, I'm at point Z already.
Okay, so that point Z is very dangerous, because once you get there, you will soon realize that, no,
I have missed something.
I have to do something. Yeah.
So reaching a plateau
is a very dangerous thing, because if you're living and you're breathing, you are supposed to be growing.
And aspiring
and, you know, having expectations. If there is nothing you're looking up
for, can we get a placard for that? That is very interesting. I like that. If you're living and breathing, you're supposed to be what?
Growing. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That feels like something that I could put on my bumper sticker.
You're supposed to be growing, because once you have plateaued, it's a dangerous thing. And I unfortunately...
Always have hope.
Hope, for, expectations, and stretch yourself. Because once you feel like you're in your comfort zone, that is indicator number one that you're not growing. So growth starts at the end of the comfort zone. Stretch yourself. Don't say, I have arrived.
Mm.
Unfortunately, so many professionals I've worked with and I've met, they're at that level. They have plateaued. But that plateauing...
What causes people to plateau, though?
lack of drive, lack of discovering their purpose. Because once you discover your purpose, there's nothing like plateauing. It just becomes endless possibilities.
Yeah, Blessed Barack just cruising through Washington. Tune in to the Upfront Show presented by Jackson from outer Washington. And yeah, it's well informative and you better know that.
In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. On the show today with me is Annette Bayingana. Annette is a leadership coach, and she's helping us shed more light on the questions of how one becomes a better leader, how one is able to create a sense of trust and loyalty among those that they lead, how they're able to put the interest of others above themselves.
Is it possible that you're stuck in a cycle of things that you cannot and circumstances that you cannot control?
Yes, that's possible.
Then how do you deal with that? How do you get out of that?
First of all, the desire to get out is a huge one. What I don't want is resigning. Once you resign, then yes, it's going to really be
Let's
very
Let's talk
bad
about resources and your private and personal life vis-a-vis your professional life, okay? Because you could have professional growth, but your personal growth is kind of stunted. You know, stymied by things that are out of your control. Does your personal growth have to go in tandem with your professional life, professional growth?
Yeah, it has to go hand in hand, because if not, sooner or later, it will pull back the professional life. It will be affected. Your professional life that is soaring and doing well will eventually be affected by what is happening personally.
What are some of the things or the impediments of growth for a person? As a person who has dealt
with the first impediment, in fact, I like to call them the gap. You know, like when you're in a train and they said, mind your gap. In life, you have to have where you're
I've
going.
Never heard of that. Mind you mean gap? The gap
the
that
gap.
Is the, between,
yes,
the,
between
the cars?
The cars. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mind the gap. They're always repeating that word. It's very important in growth.
You've been traveling to New York quite a lot with that.
Yes. Mm. So in terms of growth, I like to give that picture. Because in growth, you have to have where you're going.
Yes.
But again, mind the gap. Mm. Because you might fall in that.
As you're trying to make a leap.
As you're trying to get to the next
one. Right.
Yeah, you might not get there because of something in between. Mm. And the first one is what I like to call the assumption gap. You assume that you'll actually grow. So one of the reasons why people don't grow, they assume just because
it's automatic.
It's automatic. While you're growing in years is automatic. Growth does not work like that.
It does not work.
It was not like that. Mm. You have to be extremely intentional.
Okay, so assumption gap. Don't assume that you will automatically grow.
Yes.
You have to be deliberate about the
about
the steps that you take
in
growing.
Second
I'm starting
gap.
To speak like a John C. Maxwell trainer right now.
Yes, you're very good, actually. Second gap is the knowledge gap. You might say, I want to really get there, but you don't know how. Mm. That's a beautiful gap, because you will search for knowledge and find.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's good to not be in the know, but at least know that you want
at
to
least,
know.
At least, yes. We call that the conscious incompetence. Mm. You're incompetent, but at least you're conscious about it. You're not like
you
the
know
first
that you don't
you
know.
You know that you don't know.
Because I feel like the danger is people thinking that they know when they don't know. I feel like that is one of the biggest dangers in life.
so knowing that you don't have knowledge, you don't have information,
which is everybody, because there's always room for learning new things.
There's room, and there is lots of information you can really find. Especially, I wouldn't advise people to go to Google and try to... No, find a coach, because this coach has actually collected and organized the thinking process you need for you to get what you want.
So don't go to Google. Find somebody who has their life together or a professional coach.
Professional coaches
are not everywhere. And all my life, I've only met one professional coach.
You will be surprised at how many coaches around the
world. Just walking around coaches?
Yeah, just go to Google and say... professional coaches.
Okay, so you advise people to go to Google and look for professional coaches in the neighborhood.
Coaches. Yeah, they are really there. You may want to look at their reviews. You may want to see how they are doing and all that kind of thing.
My listeners right now in some village in a country X, will listen as look around. First of all, we don't even have Google.
Hmm.
All we have is this shortwave radio or FM radio station where we listen up front. Young lady who is on the show today is telling us to look for leadership coaches in our village.
Fair enough, Jackson, you made your
point. Is there a different... Okay, yes.
These people, I would advise them to really look up for the people who have gone ahead of them.
Okay.
Yeah, proximity is really, really key. If you can tap into someone who's ahead of you, you know, try to be, ask them questions, get together with them.
Mm-hmm.
After you've grown a little, you know, look for others that are ahead of you like that.
So seek for mentors or people who have done better than you.
Better than you. Start from there.
Who are doing well, whether it's professionally or personally.
Yes.
Can you have two leadership coaches? Can you have two life coaches?
Yes. Oh, yes. Like right now I have like three.
Oh.
Yeah.
So one is professional.
One I meet every month. The other one, it is just every time he's a call away.
Mm.
And the other one, it's random, ad hoc. When I have a question and I feel it's this person who would be better to, I will.
So you don't need to have only
one? You don't need to have one.
Can these people be your relatives?
Yeah, relatives you respect and who can add value to you.
Add value.
Very
keyword.
Important. Keyword.
Value.
Add
life.
Value.
Yes.
How you gonna do me like Drogba? Drogba.
So Annette, let me actually talk to you as a professional coach.
Mm-hmm.
As a professional coach, what do you do? What does it entail for you? How is the process? What is the process like for you?
Okay. So first step, a client realizes they need a coach. You cannot force this on to anybody. They have to realize this for themselves. And then when they come in, then we start to set goals. We start to assess the situation of where you are. I talked to you about the snapshot of where you are at the moment.
Mm.
And then we set the goals. We have to have a clear vision of success. Like if you're going to engage in a one-year coaching period, what will it look like?
So these are like one-on-one sessions.
One-on-one sessions.
But then... when you have leadership events that you've had in the past and that you will have soon, they're usually group sessions.
Yes.
How are those different from the one-on-one?
So that is not really coaching during the events. The events are simply to create the awareness of the need of coaching and leadership awareness levels to help leaders improve. For group coaching, I do group coaching. So we pick a topic. We pick a leadership principle that we are going to study as a group, and then we go through it, but we ask those deep questions. It is not a training where you go and they pump you with information. No. We can just talk about one principle and really
give us one principle.
For example, let's define leadership, because it's really been a complicated topic. Some people make it so complicated with a huge paragraph like this defining leadership that you cannot cram or understand.
And with that, we come to the end of our show right here on Upfront. We want to thank all our listeners who have been listening to our show today. You can connect with me. Send me an email at upfront@voanews.com. My social media is at Upfront Africa. We'd love to connect with you, interact with you. Let us know what you think, what's going on in your life, what's going on in your neighborhood. What do you want us to talk about right here on Upfront on the Voice of America? Until next time, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.
Join host Larry London. on Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Whoa. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists, win prizes, and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Ah.